90.7 FM. I am the grand finale here with J Mac, Big Vern, and the homie Slay Diddy, and our special guest, Laura Marks. You already know.
No adobo needed. Yeah, listen, let me give him a clap, man. I'm going to give you the clap, dog. You came with that today. You came with that. The number here, 518-828-0290. Phone lines are opening up. Slay, let's have a discussion really quick. We have probably the one guest that took us from being just a regular radio show to a group with versatility.
Yeah.
I mean, Slay, I got to give you the clap because you're responsible for Laura.
I'll take it.
You I got to give you the clap, man. I'm going to do that, dog. Hold on. Let me give you the clap.
Slay graciously pokes his chest out.
No, he's supposed to.
Yeah, yeah, I'll take it.
No, I agree.
This one right here is serious business because we were doing barbershop talks at the time.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like, we were just really trying to be a platform for our community to be heard. That's what we were doing, you know? Every subject that would come up, we would tackle it. No matter what's too hard, we can do that. Mm-hmm. But something tragic happened.
Yeah.
And we didn't know what to do. And Slay went into Slay mode. Slay, you take it from here.
Yeah, I actually just seen her name and email on a flyer, just coincidentally. So I remember it being like, I don't know, it was late, like 9:10 at night. And I remember just reaching out to Lauren saying, listen, this is, you know, the situation going on in our city right now. We have a show. There's been a ton of youth at the time who are asking us, you know, can we do something around the subject of suicide? And she reached back out, and I believe it was the next day or a day later, but, you know, she was live in studio, and we definitely appreciate that. And from there, you know, the partnership has just grown. You know, we've been to the suicide walk every year since then. Mm-hmm. She's been a guest. She's brought us other guests. So, like, we definitely appreciate you, Laura. You're definitely one of my top three guests that we've had, and we've had a lot of guests. We actually had Terrell Owens and a bunch of other, like, celebrities on, and we rank you higher than even our celebrity guests.
Yeah, I definitely do, man. She brought us Kenneth Michael Cole.
Michael Cole. Who is bringing us multiple people, shout out Michael Cole.
She brought us Mary Lou?
Yeah, Gibson? Mary Jo.
Mary Jo Gibson? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know who Mary Lou was? She was the gymnast, right?
Yeah. Something like that.
Now, I was giving Mary Jo extra credit, you know what I'm saying? Because she was just so... No, but Laura is so special, man. And when she came to our show, and I remember, Slay, I remember like it was yesterday. We did an hour show at the time.
Yeah.
And she was so good. They came in and said, you guys are getting so many phone calls, stay on the air.
Yeah, it's going to stay on.
Stay on the air. And we ended up, because we used to do 2 to 3, and then from 3 to 4, we would be off, and then we come back on at 4.
Yeah.
But we ended up doing 2 to 6 when she came in. So let me give her a big clap, you know, because she deserves it. And we love you so much, but we don't know your title. You know,
yeah,
so.
we can never get it right.
So here's a big clap.
Yeah, it's just best of you. Yeah.
I don't know. I think now maybe I'm like queen or something. After that introduction, that was great.
You are the queen.
Yeah, you are. So if you want to just tell the people your name again, your title.
Absolutely. So I'm Laura Marks. I'm the area director of the Capital Region Chapter for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention.
That's heavy.
That's why we can't say it. That's why we can't remember it. Yeah, I don't know, area director, something with Capital Region. I don't know. She's big, though. She's a big deal.
So let's talk about Out of Darkness. And let's give everybody like an update on how it started and your involvement. And like Slay said, I think we've been involved. This would be our third year. I think so, because the first walk was we did in Hudson. Then we did one in Catskill, and we did one in Hudson. So this would be our fourth year, bro.
Yeah, it's the fourth
year.
This is our fourth year.
The first time was with the Scrapers.
Yeah.
So we're back in Catskill this year. It's going to be on September 16th at Dutchman's Landing. So each year we alternate between Columbia and Greene counties. So we give a little love to each county each year. But we want people from both counties to come to the walk. You know, come walk with your team, come by yourself and meet up with the team. But it's really a day about bringing awareness, coming together, feeling support, knowing there's resources available. And then, of course, money that's raised from the walk goes to education, training, support programs throughout the capital region.
Mm-hmm. Some of the people that we met, actually, we had an opportunity to see Kenneth Michael Cole at the walk. But who was it, Slay? Was it Liz Bishop? Right?
Oh, what was
she's from Channel 13, right?
Benita Zahn.
He is tearing names up today.
No, you know what I'm doing? I'm trying to get all these people to come through. There's my No, Benita Zahn, she was really cool.
We were supposed to reach out to her too.
Yeah.
We never did.
Because we were walking with her and at the time, Chris Gibson.
Yeah.
Because Mary Jo was phenomenal, man. She came up. Ray, you remember the time when we were in Casco and she walked the majority of the walk until we cheated and cut across?
Oh, yeah. I remember that. That was cool. She walked right with us. She was right along with us.
Yeah, so can you explain some of the things that go on at the Out of Darkness walk? One of the things that I take a lot of pleasure in is when you go down and you receive the beads that you guys have. And can you explain that?
So we have honor beads. They're the same kind of beads that you'd get if you went to Mardi Gras. And there's 9 different colors, and each one represents a different type of how you're connected to the cause. So, for example, if you're a parent that's lost a child, you would wear white beads. And then we also have our newest bead is teal, and that's for family members of those that struggle. If you struggle yourself, you would wear green. If you're just there to support the cause, you would wear blue. So everybody's wearing a different color bead or sometimes multiple beads, and it's a great way for people to connect. So if you look across the field and you see someone wearing white, you automatically know you have that connection and you can go and find support in each other.
Yeah. I thought that was a great idea. Like, I kind of look forward to going down and picking out the beads. What's a normal turnout for an event like that? Because it seems like last year, it was really big last year, I thought. And is that normal?
Last year was our biggest year yet for this particular walk. And unfortunately, sometimes when walks are bigger, it's because there's been a recent loss in the community. Mm-hmm. So I know we had lost a few youth last year, and their schools and their sports teams showed up to support them. Mm-hmm. So we certainly want to be there available for that. You know, our hope is a world without suicide. But unfortunately, when they do happen, we want people to know that there is, kind of that coming together of community. There are people that are there to support you. But of course, if you haven't had a loss, if you just support the cause, you want to come and check out, you know, everyone is welcome.
Okay. Anything else that you want to mention? Well, actually, the day and the time about it, because I know that we're all excited about talking about 13 Reasons Why. Mm-hmm. And but anything else about the walk that we can say before and after so that people are knowing exactly what they're going to be doing?
Yeah, so again, September 16th, registration begins at 10. You can register online ahead of time, and then you'll get information about the walk as it leads up to it. And that's afsp.org/Columbia Green. Or you can register that day. But all are welcome. Come and join us, and I'm sure you'll be hearing more about it between now and then.
Yeah. And do you guys, Ness, do you have a question? J-Mac, do you guys have a question for, I know Slay does. He stayed with questions.
What is your take on 13 Reasons Why? Like, have you watched it first?
I have not gotten past the third episode. Okay. I started watching it because I have a 16-year-old son who watched the whole thing. And he told me he was going to watch it, and I started, and I just, for personal reasons, I just haven't been able to get past 3. So.
Okay. So what's your take on the whole 3 episodes, first 3?
Well, from our foundation perspective is whenever we talk about suicide, we always have people follow safe messaging guidelines. The series does not necessarily follow our safe messaging guidelines. So we do not recommend it for people who, any youth or adults who've had their own kind of struggles or their own thoughts of suicide, because there are scenes, there are language, there are things that happen that could be triggering for people.
Yes, it's very true.
But we are using it as an opportunity for to start the conversation, for people to talk about it, especially for parents to begin the conversation with their kids. So if you don't know if your child has watched it, ask them, because if they haven't watched it, chances are they've talked about it with someone or they've heard about it. Mm-hmm. And so you can begin the conversation, and then also for parents to educate themselves on what the risk factors and warning signs are, and then what resources there are out there if you do know someone that is struggling. Yes. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Mm-hmm. So it's a great opportunity to be, you know, talking about this now, but in the context of mental health in general, and really to start to educate yourself on what those signs are.
I agree 100%.
What are some of those safe messaging that you just talked about that you said you don't see in the show?
Well, you know, obviously I haven't finished it because I said I only got to the to the third episode. But, you know, from what I've heard and some of the things that people have told me is that there are graphic scenes, especially in the last episode, you know, when I believe they show the suicide. That is certainly something that
freaked me out. I don't mean to cut you off, but that was the one point. I wasn't going to watch it. And then we knew we had you coming in, and who better to ask that the expert. But you only watched three of them, so I should have did what Ray did and just came in freestyling. But no, I watched the whole thing, and that's one thing that I could say. The very last episode, when you actually got to see it happen, it was just really, like, shocking. Like, I can't believe they just showed that. But then I tried to look at it as more as educational, because maybe they were just trying to show you what really could happen with all the events that led up to the actual her actually doing that.
Right. I think, you know, part of the what they wanted to do was to kind of show the aftermath of what happens when someone takes their life and the reaction of people. Unfortunately, that's not really the way to prevent it. Even though that kind of in your face is the way people feel is the best way to prevent it. With suicide, that doesn't always work, because when someone is thinking of suicide, there's kind of this intense tunnel vision. And so they can't think beyond the pain that they're in that moment. Mm-hmm. And so the only thing they can think of is how to get out of their pain. Mm-hmm. And so to think of, you know, in that moment, you're not going to think of the aftermath or what people are going to say or how they're going to react or what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so it just doesn't work in that way. And so to see that, if you've someone who has struggled with your own suicidal thoughts, to see that could be triggering for you.
Do you think it was, so you agree with the school sending home the letters and saying the things that they did say, because a lot of schools jumped on and they pretty much said, you know, this is not something that kids should be watching by themselves. They should be watching it with a parent and so on and so on.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of parents didn't even know about it or know that their kids were watching it or even know to ask their kids about it. And so I had done, you know, just some general presentations that I had already been scheduled for, and parents are like, wait a second, I need to ask my kid. And then when they did, they found out that they had watched it. And so, you know, now they need to have that conversation about what they saw. You know, for my own child, he binge watches everything. And he even said that he couldn't binge watch it. It was just too much. And there were times where, you know, watching it, where he just got so upset just from some of the things that he was seeing. So it's tough. And I think, you know, letting parents know that it's out there. And not to overreact, but just to, again, educate themselves so that they're prepared about what they can do to help.
I think you kind of hinted on it, but I'd rather you elaborate. Do you think that kind of shock value television is beneficial, or do you think it does more harm than good? Because, like you said, you know, you have kids that by the time their parents are made aware of this show, the kid has already binge watched it, or they're halfway through the season. And now it kind of forces them into a conversation that maybe they didn't even have a chance to prepare themselves for. So do you think that it's more the shock value of this show is beneficial or more of a negative?
Before you answer that, Laura, shout out to Justin. And one thing that we didn't do, we are talking about 13 Reasons Why. It is a Netflix series. Mm-hmm. I think there's actually 13 episodes. And basically what it is, I mean, do you guys mind if I play? I have a... the trailer. Do you mind if I play the trailer? Everybody okay with that? It's not really too much bad stuff in the trailer. But that's what it is. It's 13 Reasons Why. I do have the trailer. Hold on 1 second. I got it here somewhere, I think. Yep, here it is. All right.
Hey.
Hey. Hannah, I'm not going. Not now. Not ever.
Why didn't you say this to me when I was alive? My husband and I, we never got a note.
Hannah.
It's Hannah. Hannah Baker. Settle in, because I'm about to tell you the story of my life. More specifically, why my life ended. And if you're listening to this tape, you're one of the reasons why. This is a wild
game of survival. Is Hannah telling the truth?
Don't believe everything you hear.
Whatever Hannah thought she saw, she lied about it on those tapes because she's a crazy drama queen who just killed herself for attention.
Hannah has secrets, Mrs. Baker.
Hannah's secrets are what killed her.
Maybe I'll never know why you did what you did, but I can make you understand how it felt.
You don't know the whole story.
What else do I need to know? You're just like the rest of them, but I'm not. Everyone is just so nice until they drive you to kill yourself. And sooner or later, the truth will come out. This is a wild
game of survival. So that was the trailer. I had to cut some stuff out because it's on Netflix and they swear a little bit. I got to tell you, man, I did do some binge watching. I watched probably the first seven because I kind of prepared myself. And throughout the first seven, I was just so mad at Hannah. I really was yelling at the TV. Like, I don't understand what's going on. But then I started to think back, like, I guess this could happen and this could be how, because it's built in high school, basically. And, you know, there's different kind of students in high school. You know, there's the cool guy, the nerd, you know, and stuff like that. And I could see how something like this could happen, but I was just really, really upset. I don't recommend it to anyone, like you said, Laura, that might be that it could trigger. But I think that it would be good for, like, bullies and if you're a known bully to watch, just because you can see the effect that you have on people that you might not think. I mean, there's a lot of things that we probably did in high school that we really just thought we were just doing stuff. Like, we didn't really mean any harm. And at some point through this movie and other movies, you know, it really comes back to say, yeah, you know, it was bad. So,
you know, you talk about bullies and, you know, what we know is those that are bullied are at a higher risk for suicide. It's a contributing factor, but also those that are bullies themselves are at a higher risk.
Wow.
So that may not necessarily be that, you know, because of things that have happened to them, kind of that cycle mm-hmm. of abuse and things like that, other things that they have going on that makes them behave that way in the first place. You know, and just back to the other question, if I can
I'm sorry.
But, so I think, you know, there's a fine line between talking about it and getting the information out there in a way. So, for example, when the Netflix series first came out, it was something that AFSP knew about and it was something that we were monitoring. But because of that line of contagion versus, you know, talking about it, if you, you know, talking about it in the beginning could have brought attention to it. So the more people talk about it, the more people want to watch it. And so, you know, our stance in the beginning was kind of, let's not draw more attention to it and let's kind of see what happens. And then it kind of took on a life of its own and everyone was watching it. And so then it became necessary to kind of talk about, you know, what we can do with this. So, and then that became educate yourselves, talk to your kids about it, use this as an opportunity to bring awareness to suicide. You know, there is such a thing as contagion, especially among youth. And so that's the real fear with bringing attention to things like this.
Slay?
Why do you think it became so popular?
I'm not really sure. I know that, you know, youth like stories. Mm-hmm. I remember I was presenting at a high school once and, you know, obviously, I've already said that we have ways that we do things, you know, in a way that's safe to make sure that people, you know, youth are getting the information they need, but are know what resources are and doing it in a safe way. And I remember I was presenting at a high school and there was a couple minutes extra at the end. And the teacher had said to me, well, tell us a few stories. Kids like stories. And I'm thinking, I am not going to, you know, yeah. talk about suicide. But so I think that everybody, they'd like to hear a story. And then when you hear, like, I've never heard that particular trailer, but when you hear that,
that sounded great.
It's engaging. Like you wanna find out mm-hmm. what happened. You wanna find out why. So obviously they're in the movie business, so you know how to build a trailer to mm-hmm. attract attention. And then, you know, some people watch it and they keep talking about it. And a lot of people felt that it was really great. And so, you know, it just kind of spreads from there. It goes viral.
Yeah.
And
did you feel like the show romanticized suicide? Because that's what I know a lot of skeptics of the show.
Yeah.
They said that it made, you know, it may cause copycats or, it made suicide look more exciting.
From AFSP's perspective, yes, it did romanticize suicide. And I know some people can't, they can't wrap their head around that.
Yeah.
But from the perspective of a youth of someone who struggles, I know the first opening scene, we have a toolkit for after a suicide that schools can use in the unfortunate incident if something happens. And one of the things they talk about is you never decorate their locker. And the first opening scene of 13 Reasons Why, and what you see throughout, or at least the first three episodes, is this decorated locker. And so that's a way, what we talk about, when we're working with schools after a suicide is if someone dies by suicide and you put up a giant banner that says, "We miss you, John." And then, the kids walk in and they see that, and someone who's struggling may say, "Oh, well, I would want a banner with my name on it, too." Mm-hmm. And again, you don't think clearly enough to say, "Well, I wouldn't be here to see that." So you have to be really careful how you deal with the suicide after a suicide occurs.
Yeah.
And so a lot of what they're showing, or some of the things that they're showing in the film, doesn't quite follow those guidelines.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that, too. I saw a lot of pros and cons of the show, but one of the cons that I saw was that she kind of lives forever in the show because she's in every episode, even though she's passed on.
Yeah.
And, she's on the minds of the students, every episode because it's based around her. But, you hear her voice doing the narration and, it kind of worried me that, someone who maybe feels like they're not necessarily getting attention, but they're not necessarily getting noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Or they feel forgotten that, that might think like if I do something like this, all these people remember them for an entire season. I could have the same impact.
It kind of upset me, too, Slay, that you say that, because with her being there and doing it the way she did, it almost made it seem like she was torturing everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really weird. Like, I mean, as far as the way that the series went, I think just from a perspective as a viewer, I thought it'd be great if it wasn't real life. You know what I mean? It'd be a great fictional movie, but if it didn't really happen, because I was really upset with Hannah for a long time. I was yelling and screaming. I didn't like Mr. Porter. I was upset with Clay. I know me and Clay was good for a little while, but I got all the names down. I did my homework, man.
Slay kind of actually nailed it for me. He used the perfect word, the impact, and that's the same thing that came to mind. I was only able to watch like two, maybe three episodes, and I was like, "Why?" Like the crazy part of it that gives me that whole idea of they romanticized, suicide was the impact, like Slay said, that this young lady is having on everybody around her, not just the school, but even the community. And the way the kid is just like going through, trying to get through these tapes and the emotional roller coaster that he's going through and stepping in the store and having issues. Like all of that, I'm like, wow, like this doesn't appear to be a conversation piece in terms of let's have a sit down. Like we've watched other documentaries and other, things that have put stuff that are less spoke about on the forefront, and this didn't feel like that to me. It felt like, oh man, I can make a mark on the entire community. Mm-hmm. Let me do this series of tapes. Let me do this. Let me do that. That's how it felt to me. That impact that she had, I was overwhelmed. I'm like, yeah, this is a bit much.
Yeah, I agree. Back to why Slay saying why it got so popular. For me personally, I wanted to watch it because Micah Bryant, rest in peace to her, she committed suicide as well, and I, like, it still messes with me. Like, I could have been, there for her more than I was or whatever. So I personally watched it because I wanted to see if, there were new things I could pick up on how to help someone, and they didn't really give any, really good tips. But me personally, I wanted to see how it would happen, like, somewhere else. So, yeah, but yeah, I don't think the show did a good job. Because Selena Gomez, she's like the producer, and she said she did it to get awareness out there for suicide. But I think they just made it too Hollywood and made it seem like it's all this big,
production.
Yeah, a big movie, and it's just they should have gone about it a different way.
Yeah, I think the pros of it is they did cause the conversation. Mm-hmm. Also, I like the way like they showed the parents, you know, coping with the death, because that's something that you rarely see on TV. There was one episode where the mom, you know, was basically talking to someone in the restaurant, and she was too embarrassed to say that she lost her daughter. And I know that's something very common, you know, with suicide.
And I'm just playing devil's advocate. At some point, I was upset with the mom, you know, because I felt like, you know, in this situation, in the way that they scripted it out, like the mom wouldn't take responsibility, and the way that they characterize everybody, like every single person in this whole series were responsible for the decision that she made.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what bothered me at episode 3.
Every single person. And I'm like, well, the mom, and then they showed the part, I don't know if you remember this, where she lost the bank deposit and the mom was tight and everything like that. And I was like, see, mom, you did it too. Like, why ain't no tape about mom? And I was just being, you know, I'm trying to understand.
Yeah.
So, but, and it was, I tell you, Laura, it was overwhelming, but I finished it. But I heard that they might be coming out with a second series.
Yeah, there's season 2.
I have heard that.
But Tony really got me upset, too, because he kept her secret. And I'm like, but I also want to know how he's connected. Like, why did Hannah go to him, like, hey, you know, get these tapes out there. Like, he really got me upset because he could have possibly saved her life. And he just let her do what she had to do and then kept her promise with spreading the tapes. But that really upset me.
I mean, but that could be something that can happen where, you know, somebody wants to just carry out that wish and they want to be a loyal friend.
Yeah, and I thought Tony might have been in a situation where he got the tapes afterwards. He didn't know right away.
Yeah.
He got them afterwards. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that really, like, freaked me out about Tony, because here you have this guy that's like the macho fix him up, but he's gay. And I'm cool with that, but I'm like, okay, maybe Hannah just felt really, you know, comfortable talking to him and being around him. So at some points, I saw some kind of similarities where they were trying to get the public to just accept things for what they are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But the overall part of it was like, I really wish that they would have deleted that one scene when she's in the bathtub. I think they could have. I know what they was trying to do. They wanted to show like the parents finding her, mm-hmm. but I think they could have did that by like they do in all the other movies.
Yeah.
You go in, you go out, but they just show way too much, and it was bad.
You know, when you talk about you know, you mentioned blame and all those things, and what we want to remember when it comes to suicide is there's always going to be a lot of guilt and blame mm-hmm. after. One of the things we talk about in the training is that we're not trying to save someone's life. We're trying to get them to save their own.
Yeah.
And so some of the things you mentioned about Hannah, like she didn't try to save her own life. And there were opportunities to do that. And it's not everybody else's responsibility to save her. Mm-hmm. But we all can have a part in getting people the help that they need.
Yeah, that was my next question. Because I always hear, like, people say, like, this person could have saved them or I could have saved them. I haven't dealt with that, you know, personally because, like, for the past couple months, I've lost one youth that I work with from suicide. And just a night ago, last night, a youth that I was working with had a suicide attempt. And it just, like, when people say, like, I could have saved the person or something like that, you never could really save them, right? Like, it's really up to that person to save themselves, but you to maybe point them in a direction for help. But I don't think any of us as human beings, and not professionals, let alone in mental health, could actually save someone.
Right. I mean, we can know what the signs are. We can know what the risk factors are. We can know what resources are available. We can offer to get the person help, get them to them, help with, you know, there's all these things that you can do with them, but ultimately they need to save their own life.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that we can't do anything to help them get there. I don't want to give that impression,
mm-hmm.
but you know, we have to understand that at some point they're making a decision. And so we hope that it's the decision to live, and we hope that we've kind of gotten them there. But you know, if someone does end up taking their life that we've worked with, we have to understand that we've done all that we could,
mm-hmm.
And that's when you need to take care of yourself as well.
Yeah. And then my next question is just how common is it for youth? Like, what are the statistics for youth, the youth suicide rate?
Well, it's the second leading cause of death for youth ages 15 to 24. So while it's not the highest rate of suicide, the highest rate of suicide in the United States is men ages 45 to 54. And the second highest rate is elderly. Wow. So while it's not the highest rate, it is the second leading cause of death for youth. And, you know, 90% of times they'll have a mental illness, whether it's depression or something more. And we know that depression is treatable. So that's why really getting help, you know, a lot of the programming that we do with youth is depression awareness. So if they're understanding, you know, when they're feeling sad and when it's interfering with everything that they're doing, that there is help available. So trying to get them the help that they need before it even leads to suicidal thoughts is one of the ways to prevent it.
And for youth under the age of 15, how common is suicide? Because I know in Cincinnati, there was an 8-year-old boy who was being bullied at school. And he, like, it was like a really bad situation that was caught on camera that they didn't know until after his suicide that he was being bullied, where he actually was jumped and being bullied by a bunch of other kids. And he was actually knocked unconscious for over 6 minutes before actually the principal found him. And when his mother went to his room, she found like that he had hung himself. But a lot of people were just, you know, so perplexed by his age and saying, like, you know, how could an 8-year-old, you know, think about suicide and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly less common under 15, thank God, right? Mm-hmm. But it does happen, and there have been, you know, confirmed suicides as young as 8. So, you know, and the conversation about that is different. So when a youth are in, you know, usually 7th grade and up is when we can start kind of that suicide prevention programming, or at least the teen depression awareness program. Mm-hmm. But under that, you have to be really careful how you have those conversations. And so, again, it's about parents, you know, recognizing some signs in their own children, learning what they are, and then getting them the help when they need. You know, just as you know, if your child woke up and they had a fever and a sore throat, you'd take them to the doctor and you'd get them an antibiotic because they have strep throat. But, you know, we don't always have that same reaction if your child is lying in bed crying or suddenly not wanting to go to school or grades are slipping. And so it's those same kind of things. If, you know, put mental health on par with physical health and get them the help that they need if you're noticing some signs. And if you're not sure, well, then, you know, err on the side of caution and just get them some help and figure out what really is going on.
Has there been any documented cases of someone not having a mental illness and still attempting or committing suicide?
Suicidal ideation.
Yeah. I'm not sure about documented cases, but, you know, we're saying 90% have a mental illness. So there's kind of 10% of an unknown. You know, what that unknown is unknown. It could be mental illness that's undiagnosed. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes youth are impulsive. They don't necessarily have the life experience to draw on. So, for example, if I was to break up with someone, I could say, well, you know, this has happened before. I'm really sad, but here's how I got through it. And I know that I can get to the other side. Mm-hmm. Whereas someone who doesn't have that life experience doesn't really know, you know, for them, breaking up with someone could be life or death. Right. Yeah. And so they don't have that life experience to draw on to know that this is going to get better. And so that's why, you know, looking at protective factors. So what is it that protect people from suicidal thoughts? And it's having good supportive networks, having good families. Maybe, you know, not everybody has a supportive family. So who else is in your life that is supportive for you? And these are things that help with bullying as well. You know, if, you know, you may have 2 kids that are bullied, one kind of gets through it and survives and the other person kind of crumbles. And what is it that that person has that makes them get through that? And so it's kind of the things that are around them that build them up and keep them going. And so it's important to be part of something, be connected to a sport. Maybe it's a church group or a community group, or maybe it's a friend's family if you don't have your own supportive parents. But find that network around you that's going to keep you built up.
Yeah, when we talked about mental health 2 shows ago with Michael Cole, Vern asked the question, is there supports for people who are trying to support someone who maybe has had a suicide attempt, or, you know, they know someone who has had a suicidal ideations and things like that? Are there support for that support person?
There's not a whole lot when it comes to attempt survivors or family members of attempt mm-hmm. survivors. Unfortunately, it's just a field, not even with AFSP, but just in general, that's just not there yet.
Yeah.
It's things that we're working on. You know, a lot of people, we have support groups specifically for survivors of suicide loss. So someone who's lost someone to suicide. But people ask all the time, do you have support groups for those who've attempted or family members who've attempted?
Mm-hmm.
And we just, you know, we've been slow to come to that because you have to make sure that people are safe. So in a support group of people that have attempted, if everyone starts telling their story, is everyone in a place where they're ready to hear those stories without it triggering something else? So there's a lot to be considered when it to make sure that it's healing and hopeful for those people who have struggled. And so it's something that we're working on. But again, there's a long way to go.
Mm-hmm. My last question, and it goes back to the 13 Reasons Why. One of the things that Hannah did, and she made fun of Clay, like she kind of called him names and stuff like that. And I was thinking, like, I mean, is that really a good thing to do? I mean, with suicide and not knowing who's being bullied or whatever, what kind of prevention should a friend do? I mean, can I call Ray, like, you know, cheesecake, what's the cake that Ray eats? The cookie cake guy.
Cookie cake.
Can, you know, I mean, because they always say you never know what someone's going through.
Right. Yeah.
But, I mean, do you have to, you know, wear gloves around someone so that you don't offend them? Like, how do you, you know, you want them to feel accepted, you know, calling them cookie cakes, that's, like, you know, just the way that we talk. So how do you deal with someone, you know, because if, say, something was to happen, and then, you know, to Ray, and would I feel guilty because I called them cookie cakes? You know what I mean? Would it be my fault? Like, so how would I deal with someone on a regular basis so that I wouldn't, you know, make them feel uncomfortable or make them feel, you know, how do I know, like, okay, that person is dealing with and they might be suicidal?
Right. We certainly can't know how everyone's feeling, and people are going to keep things quiet. Things go on behind closed doors. Like, you wouldn't believe what your neighbors do. You know, it's like that sort of thing. And so you can't spend your whole day worrying about every little thing that you say and how it's going to affect somebody. But I think just being willing to open up, to reach out, to have a conversation. If you see Ray, you know, one day he's happy and things seem to be going great, and the next day he's barely talking, he's sad. Things just seem to have changed, or maybe you call him cookie cakes and he kind of lashes out at you, then you know, like, whoa, something's going on, right? So you just stop.
I mean, that's
kind of
Ray. That's kind of him.
And so, you know, when you're looking at kind of, especially when it's someone that you know, you know, or have contact with, you know, regularly, when you see something different, just reach out and ask, hey, what's going on? Are you okay? Something's not right. You're looking a little different. You're acting different. Mm-hmm. And picking up on those things and letting him know that you're seeing something different. Because then he knows, wait a second, this guy's noticing. Maybe he really does care about me.
Okay. You got any last questions, guys?
No. Yeah, they're great. Laura Marks.
Yeah,
Laura always has her hair done when she comes here. She gets put together
it's
for me.
Time.
Well, that's because your show doesn't start anytime before noon, so we're good.
How about Out of Darkness again?
Yeah, so again, you know, bring awareness, talk about community support, building you up. Come to our Out of the Darkness walk. It's in Catskill this year on Saturday, September 16th, beginning at 10 o'clock. All are welcome. It is a fundraising event to raise program or to raise money to give programs back to the community. You know, raise $5, raise $100, or just come and be with us. There's lots of activities there. We mentioned the honor beads. We also have our Dove balloon release. You can write a message and then release the biodegradable Dove into the air.
I was like,
we have all bases covered, even biodegradable string. But it's a really nice way to honor or memorialize someone. And just come and be together and go for a little walk. And we'd love to have you there. So that's afsp.org/Columbia Green.
And what day again?
Saturday, September 16th. So a couple months away, but you know how fast the summer goes. Yeah, it will be here before you know it.
Is there any other events or things you want the people to know about or to support?
I think that's all we've got coming up, but we'll be hopefully bringing some programs to the community again over the summer, and we'll certainly get the word out through you guys, and mm-hmm. They can always follow us on Facebook or our webpage. So
I got a couple quick questions. I'm sorry. Yep, I did have a list. And... I thought the questions was only geared toward 13 Reasons, but there are some questions in here that aren't. What role does a school play in knowing their students' stories and what's going on beyond paper and pencil? Like,
right. You know, the school, a lot of kids spend more time in school than they do at home. And so, you know, the teachers get to know the kids and they know when they're acting kind of like their regular self, and they know when things are starting to change. Kids will also find teachers that are their favorite teachers and will often reach out to them before they would anyone else, whether it's a parent or even their guidance counselor. So they certainly play a big role just in the amount of time that kids spend there, and they can really help to let other people know when they know that something's going wrong with the child. But the school's not in it alone. So that's why we kind of, even when we do our programming, we take a three-pronged approach in where we have students know about the teen depression awareness. We have that, we train the teachers and we train parents because everybody needs to, you know, we're all in this together. We're a community and we all need to be looking out for each other.
Okay. And how would you handle your child if you thought he or she was bullied or had had a, if the kid thought they had a hand in someone else committing suicide?
Again, it's about education. So, you know, when we know better, we do better. So looking back at what happened and what we might have missed, not in a way to place guilt or blame, but to do better for the next person. So sometimes it's hard to work with survivors when you talk about warning signs, because they're automatically going to think of things, you know, you don't see it before, but you see it after. So they're automatically going to think of things that maybe they missed or maybe that happened. And that's not what that it's about. That's not what it's about. It's about knowing better to do better for the next person.
Okay.
Yeah, Slay? I have just one last question, because you just reminded me of a question that I had. How can you start that conversation? Because I know you said that your son watched it, and like, how did you open up that conversation? How does that look?
Right. I, you know, I don't know if I can use my son as an example.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a direct, but as a parent, and you know, like, how would you give advice to?
Right. I think it's you know, just, hey, I heard about that 13 Reasons Why movie. Did you watch it?
I wouldn't recommend that voice, though.
yo, dude.
Dude works. I like dude.
But, you know, just saying, so what'd you think? I mean, there are times when I've asked him, too. Like, he was talking about someone smoking pot. I'm like, so what'd you think of that? You know, and so just that sentence there, it just leaves it open-ended, and it gives them an opportunity to say, well, you know, I think it was stupid, or I think it was this. And so you just kind of take the conversation from there. Kids know more than we think they know. I think parents are afraid to talk about it, because you're going to open up something that you think that they haven't heard of before. But they hear a lot more than what they think they do. And so just any way you can find to have that conversation, sometimes even riding in the car, because you're both kind of looking straight forward. You don't have to look at each other, and you can kind of get those conversations out. But it's a great way to say, like, I heard about it. Even those listening on the radio today, like, I heard about it. What do you think?
Okay. Yeah. Well done.
Well
can
done.
Can we give it a clap?
Yeah, of course.
I give it a clap.
Great. Yeah, Laura Marks. Laura Marks.
Laura, you have to come back and visit again, Out of Darkness. What day again? September 16th.
September 16th.
Okay. Yep. I'm there. You know I'm there.
I know. You guys, and we appreciate everything you guys have done. I mean, you know, you say I'm great. I think you guys are great. You really gave us an opportunity to spread awareness to, you know, these counties we don't often get to, or get an opportunity to spread it out there. And having me in every time I email, you say, come on in, let's pick a date. And so we really appreciate the partnership that we've kind of built together. So
yes, indeed.